Good morning, I'm John Vetney.
Morning.
I represent the almond grower plaintiff appellees who are challenging a USDA marketing order rule that requires almonds to be processed, all almonds to be processed before they may be sold to U.S. consumers.
Could you tell us a word about the industry structure here? There, obviously, the growers who want to grow and sell unpasteurized almonds. Yes. They're a small minority in the almond growing world?
The growers that have that attitude are a small minority, is that the question?
The growers seeking to grow and market unprocessed almonds.
Yes, they are a small minority because the majority of the California almond crop is exported to other countries. So that would be the majority of the growers also. Almonds.
But this rule wouldn't apply then to that, right?
It wouldn't apply to them. Almonds
so then
may be.
Who does it apply to?
It applies to any almond that is grown in California sold in the United States.
Okay, so I think the more refined, the question then that Judge Williams, I think he's asking is for growers who sell in the domestic market.
Domestic California growers who grow
in the domestic market, are they a minority?
For growers that sell in the domestic market for raw, they
and want to sell raw unpasteurized.
Yes, because most almonds, even domestically, are processed. The market for raw almonds, was fairly small. Any natural food store will sell almonds. Most almonds you buy have been processed in some way. This rule, for the first time in 70 years of the AMAA, requires a product to be processed before it can be sold. This case is not about, although it arose when there was an incident of salmonella in 2001 and 2004, this case is not about whether USDA may reasonably limit or prohibit the marketing of almonds that contain salmonella. It is not about the reasonableness of an interpretation that salmonella is an adverse quality factor. It is about a rule that requires mandatory processing of raw almonds before they can reach U.S. consumers.
You fully accept a sorting requirement, is that right?
The trade name for sorting is grading. Grading is the process. Grading.
Graining?
Grade.
Grading.
G-R-A-D. Grading is the process of separating fruit, vegetables, and nuts of various qualities and sizes and categories. There is no problem with sorting. But quality, as used in the AMAA in 1935, universally for decades before that and for almost a century, has been factors of the fruit or vegetable or nut that are desirable or undesirable. The secretary
the statute says, so let me make sure I understand. Your argument is, I understand, you're not saying almonds that the secretary is without authority to prohibit the shipping of an almond that's infected with salmonella, right? That as you just said, he can do under the quality provision of the statute.
That is not the issue.
The statute says the agency may impose methods for the limitation of quality. And we're interpreting, and this is a statutory question, and this agency interprets the statute, and we owe deference to its reasonable interpretation. So once you've accepted the notion that salmonella is covered under quality, what's the argument that this is not a method for protecting quality?
You
see my point?
The argument is that, that salmonella may be a quality factor, but in 1935, when Congress enacted this statute, it was at the heels of Schechter Poultry, which is very important here. The cooperatives, Farmers have tried to restrict the marketing of products by quality, by size, by grade, by quantity for 10 years in order to stabilize the market and enhance prices. They weren't able to do that. In 1933, Congress passed the Agriculture Adjustment Act. It said that cooperative agreements can be made between processors, handlers, growers, and the secretary for restrictions, but there weren't any guidelines. In early 1935, the court in Schechter Poultry invalidated much of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal laws because they were too broad in delegation. Congress, in response to Schechter Poultry, and that's specifically mentioned in the Zuber case, for example, sought to make the AMAA invulnerable to attack against overbroad delegation. So it specifically said, these are the methods you may use to control raw marketing of raw products and no others. Section 608C6, and then there's multiple detailed adjustments that can be made in the marketing. The secretary's authority to interpret quality to mean processing, or to interpret any of those provisions to mean processing, has to be judged in the context of that Schechter Poultry enactment. It's been the same ever since. This is not the ordinary run-of-the-mill knee-jerk Chevron deference case, because Chevron ultimately involves delegation. Chevron says delegation by Congress to an agency may be express, it may be implicit. When the issue of how broad the delegation of legislative authority to Congress was came up in Zuber v. Allen, the Supreme Court said, this is not a case where an agency has authority broadly to delegate, that the Congress has not given broad authority to the agency to legislate. Although Zuber came before Chevron, Zuber expressly acknowledged that ordinarily we would defer to an agency to resolve ambiguities, but not in this case because Congress intended narrow construction.
Now, USDA's position is that you didn't comment on this during the rulemaking, and no one else raised this specific issue, so that we shouldn't resolve it.
I understand that's their position.
Yeah.
And our position is that rule, first of all, it applies to fairness to the agency. I have a couple of minutes left here, a rebuttal time. This court has never said that the petitioner must make a specific comment.
True, but the argument has to have been presented to the agency, particularly in a case like this, where we're dealing with the secretary's interpretation of a statute. If no one asks the secretary to interpret it, then our case law is pretty clear. We don't decide it.
That would give us a fairly good template for administrative amendment of any legislation by Congress, simply by a vague rule, no comment, and then interpret the rule instead for even greater deference. And
no, I wasn't saying, you misunderstand my question. I wasn't saying we would agree with the secretary. I was asking you whether the secretary isn't correct that we shouldn't decide the issue at all because it wasn't presented to him.
It can't be decided in this case. In that case, it can't be decided in any.
But well, it can be decided in any case where someone comments in the rulemaking and makes the argument that the argument that you have, which is that the word quality can't possibly include a processing requirement. That argument, the secretary's point is that, under our case law, it's pretty clear that someone has to make the argument before the agency for us to consider it.
I agree.
So what's your answer to that?
That someone did.
And where was that? Show me exactly where that happened.
It's on the bottom of page 8 of our reply brief.
Yeah.
Someone did in the
Ooh.
Process
what
of...
Is it? What does it say? What are you talking about?
Which, okay.
What specifically are you talking about?
I'm specifically referring to the minutes of the Almond Board Safety Committee in June of 2004.
Uh-huh.
There was discussion, do we have authority? At the end of that process, USDA reviewed its authority.
Well, first of all, I read that as saying, do you have authority under the Almond Order?
Yeah.
I thought you were making a statutory argument here.
Actually, it looks like it was both, but we don't know what interpretation the Secretary came up with.
Okay, but where in these minutes did someone argue, as you now do, that you can regulate quality but not through a processing requirement? Where's that argument made in the minutes?
You know, there was one comment that USDA did not have the authority, but I read this. Oh, the Almond Order? Well, the Almond Order can only, from 1976, derived from the quality authority of the statute. USDA removed the marketing order and determined that there's authority in the quality control provision for a mandatory industry-wide pasteurization step. That is the review that's done, that was done. But before that, the secretary was asked if there was authority, and USDA is investigating to determine the extent to which the marketing order will allow authority. The review of the marketing order is a review of the terms of an agreement, a contract, as well as the terms of the statute. Secondly, this court and the Supreme Court have said that there are things that an agency must review, must look at, consider sua sponte. Judge Dattel, in your decision earlier this year in State of New York versus NRC, you referred to the Supreme Court's case in Department of Transportation v. Public Citizen, where the Supreme Court uses it's a so obvious test. Well, statutory authority for what is being done is so obvious because the APA requires that in every case that the agency articulate its statutory, its legal authority for the act being proposed. That is clearly one of the so obvious standards that this court referred to. It's the kind of sua sponte issue. Legal authority is basic, and if it's not there, the agency has no authority to promulgate the rule, and that's the basis. The waiver question is this is so basic, it's so obvious. The secretary must explain it sua sponte, and there's no explanation whatsoever of the interpretation either under the rule or under the statute. If there's no explanation, there is no reasoned explanation to defer to. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Michael Labate on behalf of the Secretary of Agriculture. There appears to be no dispute at this point that the presence of salmonella can affect the quality of almonds. And there is actually no dispute in this case that...
Quality in one sense of the word.
Yes.
Right?
Well, that is correct. I understood the argument this morning in the reply brief to concede the presence of salmonella on almonds adversely can affect their quality. The sole question apparently now is whether or not it was within the Secretary's authority under the quality control regulation to impose this treatment requirement. And put simply, there's nothing in the statute that limits the means by which the Secretary may impose quality control regulations. And on the contrary, Judge Tatel, as you pointed out, 608C6A provides that the Secretary may provide for methods of regulating quality. Moreover, there's...
What if the majority of the almond growers concluded that a salting requirement would give them financial advantage in marketing?
There would have...
Achieve the cartel purposes of this statute.
If there were a basis for concluding that affected the quality of almonds. Remember, we're talking...
Quality, why not? I mean... A lot of people prefer salted almonds.
Right, but It's not clear to me the secretary would necessarily conclude that salting or some other
I understand method. He might not necessarily conclude. Right. I'm asking you, is there anything to prevent him from concluding that, anything in the law? And does that make sense?
There is nothing in the statute that regulates the methods by which quality factors may be regulated. And more to the point, the Almond Order, Section 981.42B, not only gives the secretary the authority to issue quality control regulations, but it gives the additional authority to issue rules and regulations necessary and incident to the administration of the quality control provision. So
I hear you saying there's no problem with the salt requirement.
Well, again, Your Honor, I can't commit the secretary.
Unwise, perhaps, but perfectly legal.
I can't commit the secretary to the view of whether or not salting would affect the quality of almonds.
I understand that, but we're just interpreting the words. That's all we're
But if in
for.
Fact, if in fact salting affects the quality of almonds, then I don't dispute the hypothetical that it could be done under this regulation. And that's consistent with the purpose of the regulation. There were two quality control regulations added in 1976, an incoming quality control and an outgoing quality control. The incoming control regulation, which is 981.42A, is a very detailed set of things to be inspected for almonds that are received by a handler. And there are rules for calculating the amount of inedible kernels, for what to do with excess inedible kernels, and it's very prescriptive and detailed. The Federal Register notice that's in the JA here, page 85, and going forward, makes clear that the outgoing quality control was intended as a supplemental authority, a backstop, in the event that the incoming inspection requirements proved insufficient for the needs of the industry or the public. And it indicates that the secretary would have flexibility and authority to impose quality factors that are not taken into account during the inspection by the inspection agency. And one of those things was aflatoxin, the presence of a harmful mold that can be present in almond crops. And that shows that from the very beginning, this provision was intended to give additional flexibility beyond merely inspecting the almonds for those things, those inherent characteristics that might make them inedible. So based on the structure of the regulation and its purpose, we think this is fairly construed as a quality control regulation. And there really is nothing that they've pointed to in the statute that would limit the means by which quality may be regulated. If anything, the argument that we heard this morning is really an argument that the secretary should have done something other than mandate treatment, should have had a testing requirement, should have had something, you know, less than the full treatment rule. But that, if anything, is an arbitrary and capricious challenge to the terms by which quality is being regulated. They've waived that count of their complaint expressly. That was count 4. They expressly waived their arbitrary and capricious claim in district court. And all we're left is the question of whether regulation of salmonella is within the statutory and regulatory authority.
Oh, isn't your argument that that's waived also? I thought your position was that no one commented on that, and that's not even properly before us.
Judge Tatel, we don't think any of these claims are properly before us.
Well, what's your answer to what counsel said? He pointed to this, in his reply brief, to this meeting before the Almond Board, the question of the agency's legal authority actually came up.
Yes, Your Honor. I have two responses to that. One is that I don't read that brief reference to the authority to issue the regulation as presenting the claim that is squarely presented here, which is treatment within the authority to regulate quality. I don't think it nearly goes that far. But more importantly, that was in 2004. That was almost 2 years prior to the published proposed rule here. And if they really believed that this was outside the secretary's interpretation of his authority, they had the opportunity to comment during the rulemaking and a duty to put the secretary on notice that, yes, although you apparently believe this is within your authority, we don't think it is, and please explain to us why it is.
Counsel,
they didn't do that.
Is the footnote let me get it for you exactly. The petitioner's brief, page 26, note 47. Is that correct?
Sorry, give me one moment. This is the opening brief, Your Honor?
Yeah.
Page 26?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking through and I can't seem to find it. I've got page 15031 before me.
Yes, and the district court noted this as well. There is, and we didn't dispute that there was this passing reference in the rulemaking provision. We just didn't think that was sufficient to actually put the agency on notice of the specific questions here. It's not merely what regulatory or statutory authority do you have for this regulation, but the two specific questions that were framed up in the briefing here. Is the presence of salmonella, does that affect the quality of an almond? It was one question. And then a distinct question is, even if so, may you treat that through a mandatory treatment process as opposed to, say, an inspection or you know, sorting or some other requirement? So the mere fact that they said that somebody said, please tell us what authority you have to issue this regulation doesn't squarely put those two distinct statutory questions.
See, I looked at the cases cited by you and the district court on the question of the necessity of raising the issue. All of them seem to involve plaintiffs for the court who had actually participated in the rulemaking, where it was a rulemaking. At least one of them is an adjudication. You don't think that makes a difference?
Well, if anything, it goes in our favor here.
How?
I would think, once again, if these plaintiffs wish eventually to come into court and challenge the propriety of the secretary's action, they have some duty to come forward and participate in the process and say, we don't think this is right. If somebody had squarely framed the two issues I was just describing, we wouldn't be arguing waiver. But nobody did, in our view, and we think...
I understand that claim, but I mean, essentially, anyone who has some possible reason to anticipate that his interests will be overridden in a rulemaking has got to participate in the rulemaking. That seems quite a heavy burden on citizens.
No, Your Honor, but if what these plaintiffs wish to argue is that this is somehow some unprecedented and never before contemplated expansion of regulatory authority that the secretary was without power to do, well, then yes, they do have some burden to come forward and make that argument. This was not a low-profile amendment to the almond order. As we pointed out in our brief, there were 50 public meetings. Every single handler was contacted by the almond board's quality control committee and you know, asked about the proposal. There were debates about whether to maintain the voluntary treatment program or to have this mandatory treatment program. This was not a sort of quiet change. It was a very well publicized and very well debated change. So they had every opportunity to participate. In fact, the proposed rule was circulated to every handler. And if they really believed that this was some radical expansion outside statutory and regulatory authority, it wouldn't have been hard to just put forward the bases that appeared eventually in their complaint in a few sentences. But even if this court finds no waiver, we still think we win clearly on the merits, as the district court found.
But I was looking at some things during parts of your discussion. You are not saying that there has been any previous mandate for processing?
No, Your Honor, no. We're not. We think this was a response to a serious and in some ways unprecedented threat. As the notice makes clear, these outbreaks were the first time that this particularly dangerous strain...
You aren't claiming a health justification for this.
We're claiming a quality justification for this, which overlaps with health justifications.
Yeah, but this is not a health problem, because otherwise, surely the imported almonds would be subject to it.
Well,
unless our system is totally broken down.
The USDA, of course, does not have the authority to regulate the imported almonds.
Right.
So we do believe it's clearly within the food quality regulation, and it was a response to a very serious threat to the marketing of the industry.
You aren't either claiming that the mandatory processing is the only solution to the salmonella risk.
Well, the secretary did consider certain alternatives, including a mere testing regime, and relying on information provided by pathogen experts at the University of California at Davis, it concluded that a testing-only regime would be insufficient to tackle this problem, and this was spelled out in the final rule. To the extent that the plaintiffs wish to say we should have done something else, I do think that's an arbitrary and capricious challenge, and they waived that.
I understand it's that in a way, but it does relate to the statutory interpretation issue. In other words, you're in this arbitrary, capricious land, you're saying, well, the only way of fulfilling the purposes of the statute was this, but that's questionable.
But what we haven't, Your Honor, the Secretary did not say that the only way. I don't mean to misstate what's going on. The Secretary, in adopting the rule proposed by the board, said that they believed this was an appropriate way to proceed. In an arbitrary and capricious review, that would be the determination to make. No one has ever said that the Secretary could only have done a treatment requirement, but the question is simply, may the Secretary impose a treatment requirement?
I guess it does seem striking that we've had 7 decades of this without this particular line being breached.
We don't contest that it is a new situation in response to an evolving threat to the marketing of agricultural products, and we continue.
And I take it from your response to my salting hypothetical that you weren't asserting any particular limits, the existence of any inherent limits to it.
Well, Your Honor, I want to be just very clear about what I meant to say in response to that. If something is indeed a quality factor,
on the part of the Secretary, but
right. If something is indeed a quality factor, it is our position that there's nothing in the statute that regulates the methods or the means by which it may be treated. Now, I seem over my time. I just want to make this one point to show the limits of our position here. The reason we're here on this rule, having been done the way it was done, is because in 1976, the growers and handlers of almonds approved a new marketing order that gave very specific powers to impose quality control requirements. That is a unique feature to the almond order. We are not saying that merely because of the provisions of 608CA, which contemplate quality control, that the Secretary could always proceed in this way with regard to a commodity where the industry has not granted that type of quality control authority.
Well, I understand how if the industry adopts an order that's more restrictive, then USDA is restricted, but the statute, under your argument, definitely has to permit this.
The statute does permit it, and it would permit it in any case. My only point is that the procedures were different here because we had already gone through an amendment to the almond order that contemplated the Secretary would behave in this way.
Except in the course of that amendment, there was no discussion of mandatory processing, was there?
Well, there was, as I pointed out, there was discussion that the outgoing quality control would allow more flexibility and would allow the Secretary to address quality factors that are not covered by the mere inspection of products under, this is page 87 in the joint appendix, the quality factors such as aflatoxin, which are not looked for by the inspection agency. And I think that is fairly read as understanding that the Secretary has more authority and more flexibility to respond to changing conditions in the marketplace to permit effective regulation. So,
I might say this is the most confusing joint appendix I've seen in a long time because it has sets of numbers in the upper right-hand corner multiple sets of numbers that seem to bear no relationship to
yes.
Any uniform system.
Your Honor, I had a little trouble initially deciphering it myself when we received it from plaintiffs. I believe the appropriate numbers are the ones in the middle, the sort of faint gray numbers that say, USCA case number 12-5075. Not the very top line, which I believe were the district court docket entries. So, if this court has no further questions,
thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Does counsel have time? Oh, go ahead.
Do you want to give them additional time?
Yeah, you do. You have time left. Yeah. Right.
I just want to say that plaintiff's challenge to the processing attribute of this rule, which has been the only challenge from the beginning, it is absolutely untrue that plaintiffs at any point challenge the Secretary's authority to designate salmonella as an adverse quality factor. That was essentially the issue that was argued below. That was the issue that was essentially decided by the court. Only in a footnote did the court acknowledge the processing element of our complaint. And after the original brief here was filed, which pointed out that error, USDA again tried to cast this case as a challenge against salmonella included as a quality factor. I do want to point to one thing On the 1976 rule, Judge Williams, you asked whether processing was discussed. It was not discussed. And it's true that aflatoxin was discussed as maybe an additional quality factor. And for that reason, additional quality factor might also include something like salmonella. Almonds with salmonella might be precluded under the outgoing rule. But why in the world can we attribute to the 1976 rule, which is an authority for regulation, a processing requirement when it had never been used before? It wasn't used for 30 years thereafter. It was a contract that was signed and approved by handlers at the time. It was a ballot that was approved and voted by growers at the time. These are the legislative entities similar to Congress whose intent one would have to attribute a processing requirement. It didn't exist in 1976. It's not in the decision, and the record forming the basis for that decision was never filed with the district court. I haven't looked at it. It's not available at this point, but I'm certain that there's no processing requirement there because it was not even a sparkle in somebody's eye. It was not perceived. It was not contemplated. It was not imagined. It was imagined for the first time in 2004 when the Almond Board, basically plaintiffs' competitors as growers, came to the secretary and says, can we do this? Do we have authority? And the then the secretary looked at that rule and said, yeah, we have authority. But the secretary never explained it. So even with a regulatory interpretation, there has to be a reasoned explanation. There is none. Whatever it was secret. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Case submitted.